till yesterday we've been discussing about the first of the nine factors of sharpening the controlling faculties, namely the seeing only of the dissolution of objects, mind-body objects, which arise all the time. Though in the beginning we will not see a dissolution aspect of these objects, we can come to acceptance and faith by hearsay or through learning that these objects of mind and body rise and are stable, they change, they dissolve, and this applies to every mind-body object. One comes to acceptance that there is such a possibility. At that stage, one is said to have instilled faith to some extent, and this will be developed with one's own practice. In the beginning, one is not seeing the dissolution of the mind and body, nor one should just try to see the dissolving aspect of the mind and body. We note at the very moment of arising, that is, at the moment of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, thinking, rising, falling, bending, stretching, and so on. In accordance with the method of exposition, Siddhanta, and we labor according to this method. And this is also in accordance with the Vipassana maxim. Only when you know at the very moment, you will see the realities, that is the bhava. So today we shall continue on this subject. The text is given that three characteristics known as lakhana, group wise, namely sabhava lakhana, second one is sankata lakhana, and the third one is samanya lakhana. As for the first one, sabhava lakhana, every mind and body has its individual, natural, or specific characteristics. Such is known as sabhava lakhana. The second group is sankata lakhana. That is, every conditioned mind and body object arises, ages, and dissolves. There are three modes or timing, three modes of existence. The arising, aging, the second part, and the dissolving part. In this way, there are three modes of existence. In another sense, there are three parts, namely the beginning, and the middle, and the end, in every object. Or they can be called three periods. Every conditioned mind and body is subject to three modes in this way, such as sankata lakhana. And the third one is samanya lakhana. That is, every mind body object is arises and passes away. It is not stationary. And whatever arises and passes away cannot be satisfactory. It is subject to suffering, and whatever is impermanent and suffering cannot be self or soul, uncontrollable, unmanageable. In other words, they are subject to the three universal characteristics of impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and selflessness. It goes without saying that every mind-body object is not stable, it is ever changing. It is dissolving, rising and passing away, unsatisfactory. You cannot depend upon it. They are, every object is not dependable, not reliable, and they rise on their own, at their will, not at your will, not at your wish. This applies to every object. Hence it is known as Samanya Lakshana, universal or common characteristics. So first of all, prior to the practice, it should be grounded in this understanding that there are these three characteristics. Out of these three groups, first of all, we have this Sabhava Lakshana. Every mind-body object has its respective nature or characteristic. For example, the mind has the characteristic of knowing, sensation of feeling. Vedana has the characteristic of feeling or sensing. And as for these four primary objects, Patavi, earth element, has the characteristic of roughness, harshness, coarseness, and arbor, water element, has a characteristic of cohesion, fluidity, and then tejo element, heat element, has the characteristic of heat, cold, warmth, and the wind element, vayu dhatu, has the characteristic of stiffness, tension, and movement, and so on. So, in this way, these four primary objects, primary material beings, have their individual characteristics. And such characteristics are known as sabhava lakshana, individual, specific, or natural characteristics. It may be better if you can understand it as individual characteristics. They are conditioned phenomena. They arise through cause and condition, not causelessness and unconditioned. And when they arise, they are not stationary. They arise, they age and dissolve, or they have the three modes of existence, or three modes of life, or three times of life, namely beginning, middle and end. Such is known as the Sankata Lakshana, the second sky. So as mind, body, sabhava, the natural characteristic or individual characteristic of mind and body is subject to the three modes of existence, namely the beginning, middle and the end. You can call them characteristic of modes or characteristic of timing. Now these mind-body objects are subject to impermanence. They arise and pass away. And they are not satisfactory because they arise and pass away. And they are not self or soul. They arise at their will, not at your will. So again, they have these three characteristics. There's nothing besides these three characteristics in every mind-body object. All mind-body objects are subject to that. So they are common to all. Or they are, these characteristics are universal to all objects. Hence, we call them common or universal characteristics. And they are common in terms of the three characteristics, namely impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and selflessness. In this way, there are three groups: Sabhava Lakana, natural characteristics; Sangata Lakana, mode characteristic or characteristic of mode; and the common or universal characteristic. All of these three characteristics, as the first one, namely natural or individual or specific characteristics, called in Pali sabhava lakana. Sabhava is a compound of two words, sa and bhava, as is given in the text. So also given as sarasa, sa lakana, vcsa lakana, and avindika lakana. As for the sarasa lakana, when you take food and chew it thoroughly, mindfully, you are bound to experience the taste of that food, particular food. Hence it is called sarasa, specific taste of the food. So too in the mind-body realities, there are these specific characteristics. For instance, the contact known as pusana has the characteristic of coming into contact. And then vedita, sensing, has the characteristic of feeling, just like the food that you taste as you chew the food. Rasa, enjoyable taste. Every mind-body reality or paramatta object has its individual characteristics, like the taste of food. Hence, it is also called sarasa. And this sarasa and sabhava, although they are different in wording, they are the same in meaning. That means individual taste, individual characteristics are the same in meaning. In daily food, as you chew in the mouth, you are bound to feel the taste, individual taste of the food. If you do it carefully, for instance, if you take lime, you feel the sour taste, and if you take chili, you feel the heat, hot taste, and so is other tastes like bitter taste, salty taste, and so on. Every food item has its specific taste. So too, in the mind-body reality, there are specific characteristics. Hence it is known as sabhava or sarasa. They are the same in meaning. And then the salakana, individual characteristic, also has the same sense, meaning, although it's different in wording. So is visesa lakana. Visesa, because it is not connected with other things, it is specific, and this visesa means specific. So this natural or individual characteristic is also called specific characteristic, called in Pali visesa lakana. It is also the same in meaning, although it's different in wording. So all these objects have their individual characteristics. Because they are different, distinguishing characteristics, it is also known as avinika lakana. There's no need to elaborate on these things. All we have to remember are the first two wordings, namely sarasa and sabhava. In the Vidura Yuga, part of spiritual purification, has given the first of the nine factors of sharpening the faculties, namely seeing only the dissolution of mind-body formations. So if one cannot see the dissolution of mind-body, what are we going to do? In order to see the dissolution of mind-body object of meditation, we must make a practice of it. From where should we make the practice? First, we must see or know the sadhaka, that is natural, specific or individual characteristics. That is the first thing we have to do. In order to see or know sabhava lakana, individual characteristics, what are we going to do? We should do in accordance with the maxim of insight, namely, only when you know at the very moment will you see sabhava, will you see the individual characteristics. That means you must know at the very moment of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, rising, falling, lifting, moving and placing, bending, stretching, even to the extent of closing and opening of your eyes. Such are the occasions where you should activate your mindfulness. That is, note at the very moment. So you have to make a practice of it. Then you'll be free of hindrances to progress, known as nivaranas, and realize the benefits, beginning with the purity of mind and the discernment of mind and body, first and foremost, then with the activation of your mindfulness, you are bound to see the conditionality of mind and body, that they are subject to cause and effect. And if you continue to practice mindfulness, as you strengthen your mindfulness and concentration, you are bound to see the characteristic, the universal characteristic of this conditioned psychophysical phenomena, namely, that they arise and pass away, and they are subject to suffering, unsatisfiedness, and they are selfless, soulless. They arise at their will, not at your will. They are unmanageable, uncontrollable. In this way, you are cultivating insight knowledge, as is given the meaning of vipassana. Vi means the different kinds of modes or characteristics, namely the characteristic of impermanence, the characteristic of unsatisfactoriness, the characteristic of senselessness or soullessness. All these things come under a variety of characteristics. In between there are other characteristics that you will come across, namely that the unpleasantness, repulsiveness of the objects experienced. Such is given as vi in Pali, the various modes, various characteristics. And pasana, pasati, in seeing the objects in terms of different modes or different characteristics, namely impermanence and so on. Such is cultivating insight knowledge. And if you want to cultivate insight knowledge, all you have to do is just note at the very moment of the arising of the mind-body objects. So this is the work that you have to do that is alert at the very moment in order to see the individual characteristics and cultivate inside knowledge, which you all are doing. First, you have to make a practice in order to concentrate your mind, calm your mind. From where do we start? In order to cultivate inside knowledge, we note in order to see mind and body first and foremost. Once we see mind and body, then your mind opens up, your knowledge blossoms, opens up, and then you wish to experience the kind of happiness which is unrelinquishable and which is good in itself, not mixed with other pleasures like the worldly pleasures, by cultivating the mind and insight. So you come to understand that such things can be realized, that there is a possibility, you come to acceptance. Your faith is said to become awakened. Then there will be zeal to undertake the practice, to know first the individual characteristics of our lakana. Then you come to the retreat, to the center. You have the courage to undertake the practice, and you will have the courage to renounce, at least for the time being, the worldly pleasures, just as you have left behind your worldly pleasures when coming here. And then there will be a desire, strong desire to depend on yourself, to depend on the Dhamma, depend on the practice, and not depend on the teachers who are teaching you, both from the theoretical and practical aspects. In this way, together with faith and confidence, you will develop the power of reliance, dependence. Knowing the method of practice to undertake meditation, you have become a yogi. So, you note stay in mindfulness. Every time you are noting, you apply energy, which means virya. So you practice without regard to your body and life. You should have that courage to take the risk. You should have the courage to take the risk to do away or to abstain from unwholesomeness, akusalas, and to do only wholesome things. You should have that courage in stages. If you have that courage, then you will not hesitate to undertake the practice to activate your mindfulness, leading to the deepening of concentration. And as you note and deepen the concentration, you're bound to see the natural characteristic of the mind-body objects. That every mind-body object has its natural specific individual characteristics. We say that they are specific, they are individual, just like the taste in the food. So this is the beginning of experiencing a practice. Of course, at that time, you are not seeing the dissolution of the mind-body objects. You still have to make a practice. Exert your energy. So you need these powers, namely faith, as we've discussed, to awaken this faith in order to develop a strong desire. Then you'll have a will to take risks, starting with the noting of the object, so that the noting mind is concurrent with the object. The noting mind is sustained firmly on object. That is to the application of the power of aiming. As you aim for one moment, you are bound to activate, you are bound to sustain your mindfulness for one moment. With every second of the exertion of energy, energy to sustain, to push your noting mind towards the object of meditation. You'll be exerting your energy every second of the practice. If for 1 minute you exert your energy, taking the 60 seconds in a minute and at the rate of one noting per second, you are exerting 60 movements in 1 minute. So just imagine to what extent you are exerting energy. So if you accumulate these moments of energy, you are bound to activate your mindfulness, deepen your concentration, and cultivate knowledge. In this way, you have to practice, undertake your practice. In short, note at the very moment to see sabhava.
Same magic.
When one is noting, there are three kinds of postures, you may say. That is noting while you are sitting, noting while you are walking, and in general activities. There are three parts. Now when you are doing sitting and walking meditation, main objects are very important. You must give priority to the main objects. Exerting mental powers fully, such as faith and confidence, and strong zeal to undertake the practice, and when you actually come to the practice, you should have the power of noting every arising object as it arises, so that the noting mind is concurrent with the object, employing the power of aiming and then energy in order to reach the noting, the noted object. So these two mental powers are very important. If you are able to do that, there will be no difficulty in activating mindfulness. Mindfulness is bound to be sustained on objects, leading to the deepening of concentration. As we have said, sarasa, individual taste, when you are taking food, as you take your food in the mouth and you are chewing, you are bound to experience the taste of the food, if you are careful. Of course, if you are not careful, if you are just gazing somewhere, or talking, or not being mindful, suppose you are taking some chilies in your mouth by mistake, then you are bound to suffer the heat. If you are not careful and not knowing the taste, it amounts to just hopelessness on the part of the person who takes the food. So even if the instruction is to be mindful, to be careful in chewing the food, to know the taste, and if one is not doing so, then it's one's fault, nobody else's fault. So, when you are noting the objects, beginning with the main object of rising and falling, you use this power of aim in order to be concurrent with the object, and exertion of energy to sustain your mindfulness on the object. This is the responsibility of the meditators. Teachers can only give guidance. For the benefit of the yogis, and lay down the disciplinary rules for the yogis to follow. So it is up to the yogis to undertake the practice. If they don't do it, it is their responsibility. If they cannot follow the instructions or follow the discipline, of course, then they have to go and practice somewhere else.